It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 26. We're going to begin reading with the 25th verse. Actually, we'll start reading with verse 24. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And it's wonderful to have you join us today. And if you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and be prepared for the study today. Glad that you've joined us. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And Abimelech went to him in Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicool, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And he said, Let thee be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made him a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Let's begin with prayer as we start today. It's a wonderful opportunity, Lord, that you have given us. Now please, that you give us the wisdom and the strength to proclaim your truth and proclaim it clearly. We need your blessings, Lord. It's wonderful as we look at Isaac here, and we enjoy seeing, Lord, how you have blessed him and you're using him in a mighty way. I ask that you would do the same thing for us, Lord, that we would be a blessing to you, and in turn that you may bless us. Please, Lord, now guide and lead us, and you touch every heart if it be needed for salvation, that you will convict all that are listening of their sin, and that they will turn to you and not turn to some tradition that they have been taught through the years, but they turn to you, Lord, for salvation, because they must be saved, and they must come only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please that they call upon you, Lord, and that they look to you for salvation. And then, Father, as we come to know you and come to walk with you, I ask, Father, as a believer, that you will give me your wisdom and that I will use it to your honor and glory. Now, please, Lord, guide and lead us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we looked at these verses of Scripture. We read to the end of the chapter, but to verse 33 last time we were together. And we find as the conflict was going on, in the with the digging of the wells, and the Philistines filled the wells back up when Abraham had died, and now Isaac comes back through, and he just continues day after day, time after time, to dig more wells, searching for that water. And we know that we must do the same thing. We need to continue to dig in God's Word for the truths of it. And it is so wonderful as we pour over the Word of God, as we dig in the Word of God, that we find all these truths that strengthen us and give us the power and the strength that we need each day. We find that during this time of his digging of these wells, that it brought contention and brought hatred in sometimes. And we'll find the same thing when we choose to stay with the truth and we choose to dig in God's Word and stay right with the truth. We find that there is contention. It may be in our immediate family, because we disagree, because we're staying with God's Word, and the world would like us to veer from God's Word, to look at the as just a book, not your Word. The world wants us to think of it not being your truth, Lord, and that we don't do that. We need to look to God. We need to direct all of our hearts and our thoughts towards his will and his way, and the way we can do that is when we search and study his Word. And so please that you be as Isaac. Even though the contention was there, he kept digging. Even though the hatred was there, he still continued to dig for the truth. And when he did, why, we find that he got to the place, and here in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and says, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And so the blessing continues, the promise continues, and that blessing come right to us, because that seed that he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as it continues to come, the promise, the hope, the strength, the wisdom, any through any kind of times of trial and tribulation, please that you will look to the Lord Jesus Christ, his saving power, for your strength and for your will. Isaac, again, he just kept digging. And I ask you to do the same thing. Just kept digging. Keep digging. Well, what happened here, then he gives him a promise, and he says, fear not. You don't be afraid. He had been had this trial and this tribulation and this hatred, and they had just continued to run them away and run them off from well to well as they were working. And it was just such a serious problem that they had. And so Isaac just kept digging. He didn't pay attention to the world. He didn't pay that much attention to the others. But I think the Lord, when he knew that maybe Isaac was getting tired and Isaac was getting weak, and he needed to hear from the Lord, and the Lord said to him right here, fear not. And so what a wonderful statement, what a wonderful promise that he received here. And in response to that, we find what Isaac did. And then that's in verse 25. He built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And so after he had continued digging, he had found water. We have that in several places, and even in one place he had found what they call living water. That's in the 19th verse. It's springing water. Another name, a wonderful name, is living water. And that's what we'll find as we search and dig in the Word of God. We will find living water. It's wonderful. Please look to the Lord Jesus Christ and hear those words from him and his Word, fear not. It's a wonderful promise. Again, he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord. We should do that often. We should have our place where we call our our quiet place, our altar that we can go before Him. He is everywhere because He is in our hearts. You know, that's kind of hard to understand, but the day you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts. And so, no matter where you want to bow your head or stop a minute and look into the heavens, no matter if you're driving down the road and you want to speak to Him and talk to Him and visit with Him and fellowship with Him, you can, because He is ever present to you. But to have a special place where you can just have a quiet time and you don't have the noise of someone being around or of the radio or traffic or whatever it is. It's a quiet place where you can praise and honor God. And when He hears those words, "Fear not," why, He built an altar there, called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched His tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Now, we have some things that you're going to be used to a little bit as we study God's Word, and you'll find that Abraham, many times when he would travel from place to place, why, he would quickly build an altar when he would arrive. And so we kind of connect Abraham with an altar. And then Isaac, why, we kind of connect him with a well, because he is always digging wells. And so we kind of connect him with that. And then we're going to find here, and it's something, because right here it says he built an altar and he pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants dig a well. So we have all three in the 25th verse. As Abraham, he built an altar. As Isaac, he digged a well. And then as Jacob, that's coming, you're going to find that we're going to connect him with the tent. And so we have all three in this verse here that Isaac has taken care of, built an altar, pitched his tent, and digged a well. And now in the 26th verse, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. So that's the group that's coming. We got Abimelech, which, remember, he's back over with the Philistines. He is a Philistine. And one of his friends, and then the chief captain of his army. That's quite a group, isn't it? So you these folks are coming as they would come over to meet our president. Why, there's a group of them. A lot of times it's not just one person that comes, but it's the representatives. This is quite a representatives that are coming over to speak to Isaac. Now, let's see what they have to say. Verse 27, when they arrived, well, Isaac said to them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "Oh, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." And he made a feast, and they did sit down and eat, and they drank. Let's take a look and see what's taking place here. Remember back, even when he was back next to Abimelech and next to the Philistines there, and I think he just moved from Gerar to the valley of Gerar, if I remember right. And so we're not so far away here as he has traveled. But we find strove not, called it Rehoboth, was the last well. He went up from thence to Beersheba. So we're in Beersheba now, as 23rd verse tells us. And here comes Abimelech, and he has had some experience with this man named Isaac. And Abimelech liked what he saw, and it's too bad that he didn't come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus has not come to earth yet, but in the Old Testament, they always look forward by faith to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to His saving power. And now, in about the same period of time, we look back. And you see, we're about 1,800 years away from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1,700 to 1,800 years. And so, you know, as they're looking forward that many years, we're looking back not many more years than that, are we? And so it doesn't matter. We all need to focus upon Calvary and upon the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to have to focus upon that for our salvation, because that's where we find it. And you'll do that if you look forwards to here and look back from where we are right now. And so here in Genesis, while we're looking forwards today, here and now, we're looking back unto the cross of Calvary. And so he built an altar. That's exactly what he was looking towards. He was looking for the saving knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ to come. And the promise was coming through Abraham, Isaac, and on to Jacob. So we find that the blessings, as Abraham had those blessings on to Isaac, now Isaac begins with all of his herds that he possesses. Takes much land to control that and take care of that, and takes a lot of water. So he just keeps digging wells so he can water his herds and his flocks. And as we find now, he's built the altar, he has pitched his tent, he's digged the well, and just kind of seems like he's settled in. Verse 24, we just had the words, "Fear not, for I am with thee," the Lord God said unto Isaac. And so everything seems to be going very, very well. And then here shows up Abimelech. What's he want? Now, was Isaac a little fearful for what Abimelech was going to do? You know, last conversation that we have with Abimelech is that he sent him away. And we have that in the 16th verse. Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And so he departed, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And then again we find that he went up from thence to Beersheba in verse 23. And so did Isaac know what he was going to do or say? Because they really didn't leave under real good terms. And yet it wasn't so miserable a terms either, because the only thing that Abimelech said, "I think it's time for you to go." Now the blessings, Abimelech could see how that God was blessing Isaac. Why Abimelech sent him away originally, we're not sure. As I said last time we were together, you know, when there's a person that is godly, walking with the Lord, it is good to be a friend of theirs, because God in blessing, and today here, why we're talking a physical blessing, today, sometimes it's not a physical blessing. Sometimes it's just a spiritual blessing. And I don't mean that in a little way at all, because a spiritual blessing is much greater than any kind of a physical blessing could be. But when we receive that blessing, and sometimes that blessing pours over as God blesses and has kind of an overfill of blessings to one, it'll spill over to those that are around him. And so Abimelech was receiving, I believe, some of these blessings that Isaac was receiving because of his closeness, because they were kind of together. But Abimelech got to watching how big he was becoming, and the only thing that a worldly person knows is that he's going to do something to me. He's going to take this land over. He's going to take this. I know he is. I just know he's going to come and defeat us. He's getting so big and so strong, and so he sent him away. He didn't want him around anymore, and that was a mistake on Abimelech's place to do that. But Isaac moved on, and he has taken care, settled back in now here by Beersheba, and here comes this group. First thing Isaac says to him, "Ye hate me. Why have you sent me away? Why have you come?" And look at these wonderful words that we've just read. And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." Now this is a Philistine. You know, we go back in as we continue to study in 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. You'll find that there are many battles with the Philistines. And matter of fact, in Ezekiel, why it makes it very clear that was destroyed. You know that that the Philistines were destroyed because of their conflict with the nation of Israel. Well, at this point in time, Abimelech was maybe one of the smarter of the Philistines, because he said, you know, we get into the time of David. You know, David fought with the Philistine, with Goliath. And so, but here, why, look at these words, and there's something to look at. We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And he said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Was Isaac continuing to grow and continuing to be bigger and bigger and bigger, larger in size, in wealth, in power, that Abimelech said, my land, I think we need to come over and we need to get some kind of an agreement here. We need to be allies and not enemies. And so he come over and talk to Isaac, and that was something for Abimelech to do. And I think that's the reason we see that he brought the captain of his army and another close associate of Abimelech's with him. But again, look at these words. We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Now that's a beautiful statement. We want to come together with you. We want to befriend you. We want to be friends with you, and that thou wilt do us no hurt. So there must have been some concern there. As we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. We have two statements there. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And in the 28th verse, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. What a wonderful way as the Lord is blessing Isaac. And the world outside is beginning to see, beginning to notice that, and even acknowledge it and verbally say it. And so, what was Isaac's response to that? Because first when they came, he said, you hate me. You've sent me away from you. And he said immediately, you know, no. We have not harmed you in any way. We sent you away in peace. We didn't hurt you. We didn't harm you. And when Isaac kind of gave it some thought, why, he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now, many times through the scripture, where we have examples where there are two countries, there's another country comes and joins up with Israel, and it's not good. Now here, you know, the Abimelech and the Philistines are still very evil, wicked people, but they have come on their behalf. It's not, you know, many times that the problem in the scripture has been that one would go tie themselves to another land or another country for their own protection. Isaac didn't need any protection. He wasn't seeking protection. And these folks were coming to kind of maybe receive some of the blessings that the Lord was giving him. And it seemed as though that maybe they had feared him a little bit because of his size and his might. And so, what a beautiful picture here. Changed just a little bit, and it's kind of a strange story with Abimelech and the Philistines coming together and acknowledging and recognizing that we saw the certainty that the Lord was with thee. And then we find in the other verse where the has sent him away, thou art now the blessed of the Lord, the end of verse 29. So they had a dinner and enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed visiting with each other and talking amongst themselves, and then they departed from him in peace. A wonderful way to go. And it came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And they called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Beersheba means well of oath, the well of the oath. And so as we look at the look at what we find at the end of this little meeting, what do we see? We see the digging continue, don't we? We see that that even though Isaac was away taking care of this other, now we see him and he's busy and he is continuing in this this time of searching and digging for this water. It's wonderful, just wonderful. Now, you know, we look off to Esau. We have looked at Isaac, and now we're about to look just a little short time here with Esau. And, you know, we have, as we look through the scripture here, we enjoy it. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when we have Jacob, why, we have Esau and Jacob. Now here, and we're going to find in the 27th chapter quite a list that's going on, but just for a little bit here, while we have a short part about Esau. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter. I believe, if my memory serves me right, I think that's the same age that Isaac was when he met Rebekah. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Beshemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac unto Rebekah. Now let's look at that just a little bit. Why was that a problem? Number one, he didn't marry just one, he married two. And so that's a problem. Now we find that Jacob is going to get into quite a situation here in just a little bit, in a couple chapters from now. But right now we're looking at Esau. Esau, when he married, who did he marry? He married Hittites. He married those of the land of Canaan. Where did Abraham's bride come from, Sarah? She came back, she came from where they came from, Ur of Chaldees. Where did Isaac's bride, Rebekah, come from? She came from back at Ur of Chaldees, from Syria, where Laban, Abraham's brother, lived. And that's where Rebekah came from that family. You see, the curse back in Noah's time, the curse came upon these Canaanites. And so now we find Esau, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. We find Esau here marrying into the family of the Canaanites, the Hittites, those of the land here. And that's not to be. They should have went back home. The promise is not going through Esau, it's going through Jacob. And so we're going to find that Jacob is going to return home and find the same, out of the same family, a bride for himself. But Esau, he took on two, which was not common to Abraham. You remember Abraham, he had went into his handmaiden and had Ishmael. And so that was a problem. And that's still a problem to this day because of that the birth of Ishmael. But now, why, we've got Abraham, we've got Isaac, and now we've got Jacob and Esau. Esau took of the Hittites. That's going to be a problem. And it grieved Isaac and Rebekah. They hated it when he decided to look after people of this world more than the things of God. Remember, what did we discuss here back when he had given up the the birthright. Who did she love? She loved Jacob. Who did Isaac love? He loved Esau. What did he love about Esau? He loved about the things of the world. Now see, Jacob loved some of those things, and I think that that's gotten Esau here turned to the wrong direction. Many times you'll find that the men, the husband of the family, is not being the spiritual leader that they should be. It is the mother that is the guiding the children. Men, we need to look to the power and to the strength of God and begin to take the proper role so that our sons see the truth and follow after that truth. You know, it's wonderful to study God's Word, and we've closed out now the 26th chapter. I'm going to ask you a question, my dear friend. What are you going to do about Jesus?